Pickaxe.
Hello, I'm Alex, and I'm here to tell you about Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. Everyone thinks they're sitting on the next smash hit video game. This is where we put those crazy ideas to the test. We have guest appearances from your favorite creators, and no idea is too weird or too dumb. Well, maybe some are a bit too dumb. So, check out Pitch Please on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to your hosts.
Wow.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What? So, it reminded me of something, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Kind of gives me, I don't know, like
that Saturday kind of morning TV vibes.
Yeah.
Definitely. You're tuning in. Yeah. Everything's hyper and cool. Yeah.
Anyway,
welcome to the show.
It's probably an imported show from somewhere as well. Like they've put it in from a different country, and we're like, why? They all got Kiwi accents, and then you realise.
Either way, hello and welcome to the Hat Chat podcast episode 65. I don't know why I keep numbering them, but that's how far we're into it. That's how many you've missed if you've
they
only tuned
number.
Into this one. I am Chris Trott. This is my voice.
Nice to meet you, Chris Trott. My name's Ross Hornby.
Hello, my name's Alex Smith, and you'll struggle to tell us apart.
Yeah, if you're new here, sorry. We're three white guys from England.
It helps.
And we share very similar... We're in an echo chamber, so ultimately, you know,
welcome,
we are basically the same person.
Remarkable acoustics in here.
Yeah. Thank you to the Fingal provider there, Blake, a.k.a. Marco, for giving us that, you know, early morning, mid-teens hype there.
Whoa!
Did it work? Did it get you hyped? You hyped?
Yeah, and also thank you
feeling
to
big?
Our patrons for supporting us and giving us... the answer to the burning questions that we have and picking two hypotheticals for us this week. So without further ado...
Thanks, Patreon. Think should...
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Patreon. Alex Smith, would you first give us the thought-provoking question of the day?
Hey, the first hypothetical today is, if you could choose any mode of transportation, no matter how ridiculous, what would you use to get around? Giant eagle.
Right.
I think they're giant eagle. Nice. Lord of the Rings. Those bad boys could have saved the day in a lot quicker time.
I think. You
know? Yeah. And also, they're in The Hobbit as well. They also help in The Hobbit.
Those eagles.
Which is actually a really cool scene. Like, there's a scene where it's the scene where the dwarves are hanging off the side of the cliff, and there's like a tree, and they've set fire to everything in front of them to keep the orcs back, and then they're like slowly getting pushed up the tree, and then they start
falling.
Is that
falling. The Wargriders, attacking?
Yeah, the Wargriders, yeah. And then you get this like sort of Kazivak eagles coming in that are just like airlifting the dwarves out, and I'm like, oh man, an airborne dwarf eagle force would be awesome. And that's kind of stuff.
So
I think
a huge eagle, right? And I assume it would have to have the wingspan to pick you up. So it would be a massive eagle.
Yeah. So it'd be like the size of a bus, probably.
Is there convenience in that? Is that like, how do you call
it?
Like,
really.
Do you just whistle? Is there a whistle that
you
would just
blow?
Imagine
having one that hates being ridden. Get off me. Get off.
Well, oh, wait, God, I'm sure. I don't think it would stick around for long if it hated being ridden.
I was picturing
ridden.
You being like cradled like Frodo does in his talons.
Yeah, you can be.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
You can just be gently placed on the floor lying down.
In The Hobbit, Gandalf rides it like a badass. He's like sat on the back of it, and he's got like his hat on still somehow, even though the wind would totally take that bad boy off.
So it depends how you feel on the day, whether you Gandalf it or Frodo it.
Yeah, exactly. If it just needs you to carry you home. I mean, also you can carry like goods and things. Like you could get the eagle
That's
to
true.
Carry your car in its claws, or even better, like a motorbike.
Over traffic.
And then you on the top, and then it could drop you in the motorbike somewhere and then go off and forage for cattle, I suppose, is what it's going to be eating.
You bet so it's like a Chinook. Like
I trust the giant Chinook. Eagle to not scratch my paint job on my car.
Or kill you accidentally.
Or accidentally crunch through the windows picking up the car. You know,
maybe motorbike, or maybe I could just get like a cargo net, like a Chinook. What are your ideas for? No matter how ridiculous, what would you use to get around?
Penny farthing? No, the penny farthing just is an absurd creation, regardless.
Penny farthing I don't really with, understand. Like jet propulsion, perhaps.
I think isn't that a thing that Colin, what's his name, has made?
Colin or something.
Yes. That was a bike. Yeah. I don't know if it was a penny farthing.
Yeah.
But a penny farthing just seems nuts. That's it's so tall. You just end up falling off all the time. God, so you've got an animal. You've got an eagle. That would be pretty good. But I think maybe like a flying carpet. It's the same prospect.
Flying carpet's
just
a good idea.
The same idea. But nice, basically, it's just a rug that can also just act as a rug. And it's always there.
Again, no protection from the elements is another downside of the rug. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I would say helicopter and stuff, but I feel like they're expensive to run, and I don't know how to fly one. So I'd have to hire someone to fly it for me. So
and fuel it.
Yeah,
let's not forget that it costs hundreds of pounds to fuel them.
Maybe, yeah. So having it like these kind of like mythical creatures that are living, like a living carpet, is better because there's magic involved, and everyone loves magic, don't they? Let's talk about Harry Potter.
Oh, God damn it. I thought we'd go one hatchet without talking about Harry Potter.
What about you, Trot? Steer us away from it. What mode of transportation would you use? I mean, you could use like an animal. You know, you could use a giant bullfrog or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like we should... Yeah, I think this question should be... We should take liberties with physics and the ability for them to actually function. Let's just assume it all works, right? What about a fully autonomous space hopper? So it's kind of got Tesla tech, where it could like just take me here, please. But it's on a space hopper. You just have to grip hold of these things and it would bounce you around.
Oh, my God. Like how... That would be awful.
Yeah.
Why?
That'd be awful.
Well, it's just... Yeah, it sounds horrifying.
It's like shaking you up. Like, God help. Like, you don't want to come home on a night out on one of those, do you? Really?
No,
like,
it's going.
You just shook just bouncing away.
I'm a bit tipsy, so...
just throwing up down the front of your space hopper.
Right. Fine, something more sensible. Pogo stick. Automated
pogo. Why bouncing? Why do you want to bounce so badly?
Bouncing.
I like the feeling.
Fuck it. Fuck it. The Iron Man suit.
What about
the Iron Man suit? Okay. Man, you get that'd to be awesome.
It has it clearly has air conditioning inside, or heating if you need that as well. Mm. It's got rockets. You can jet propel yourself places. Mm. You can be completely secure. If you fall, you're gonna be fine. The Iron Man suit reigns supreme.
Which one though? Because like not Iron Man 1, right? Where it's a bit inconvenient and you have bits
on the cave suit. On the suit makes the cave.
The really old one.
Okay, the original.
Holy crap.
The one crafted in a cave. That's the one I want to go for.
Jesus.
I'm all about first gen.
I lost a bit of love for them when he started them just being like everything
just
nanites,
tiny
you know, like,
pieces, just
like it doesn't matter
around
where,
his face, yeah.
Like it's like I've got a pair of glasses on and they turn into a suit. Yeah. It's just a bit like I get that there would be iterations and stuff like that, and I get that like nanite style stuff makes kind of some sense, but it was just not quite as cool.
Agreed. Which is a shame.
It's just it was a speed thing, if anything. Because I think the whole all right, I'm going to get my suit.
The suit.
I've called it.
I think the good compromise is Iron Man. Is it 2? Where it's got what's his face from the wrestler in it?
The guy with the whip.
Is it Mickey Rourke?
Yeah, Whiplash. Or is that his name, Whiplash? Anyway, Iron Man's suit in that one is in a suitcase. He puts it on the floor, and it all kind of unfurls from that, and then you, I think that's the best. Like, imagine that. You could just, like, fly in to, I don't know where you're going, Starbucks, and then you just take it all off and you got a suitcase again. Boom.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense because, like, the density of the materials, like, that, like it needed to... I don't know. For me, it's just... That's still too much of a leap away from...
So you're trying to apply reason and rationale to his suit.
Yeah.
I prefer the way that Ross was describing, to be honest with you. The idea that you'd have, like, orbital or propelled parts makes much more sense to me than it does, like...
That's
there's a suitcase that folds and
it?
Just, like, somehow creates more metal than there could possibly be in the suitcase, you know?
Yeah.
I think that is
the
one.
The other thing to consider when you're choosing any mode of transportation is, you know, can you carry anything else in it? So this is the other thing. Like, this is fine for personal travel. You know, this is like the logic of when someone thinks, oh, should I buy a Ferrari? Well, it's only 2 seats, so and there's no boot space. So what are you going to use this car for?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Let's be real. It's a lot of money. Think about it. So you couldn't go, you know, LARPing in an Iron Man suit. Well, I mean, you could.
You could certainly have a
you have to have like a luggage system.
You'd blow some people's minds. Well, this is an excellent costume. Thank you. Yeah. I flew here in it.
This is medieval fantasy, though. Just so you know. Yeah. What about?
Give me some spray cans.
Return to Oz. The Wheelers.
Yeah.
That's what your mode of transportation.
The hell is
all fours on wheels.
On your hands and legs.
We took away these really useful hands and instead gave you more feet. It's like, oh, for God's sake. Were they like cursed as well, or were they actually?
I think they're just like, a creature of some kind.
They're Wheelers. Weird. What the hell?
Well, they were basically like wheels on stilts, and they were kind of like literally struggling to navigate the set alone. Like,
yeah, apparently they struggled
wheeling around.
They had extra long arms, but they were all like really weird, like kind of like. They look like drug addicts. Look, just Google one of them. They look.
I don't want to. I know.
Like the kind of people you just would not want to meet, like in an alleyway. You'd be like, oh man, this guy's crazy. Like, no, there's a better one than that.
Jesus Christ, yeah, they've got literally like, I mean, those wheels. I would say the wheels look a little bit like the ones you get on the side of like a Segway. You know,
yeah,
like, they've got the same like hubcap look to them. But so Jesus, weird. Having those attached to your arms just is a recipe for disaster.
You wouldn't choose that as your
How are you stopping that? Has that got a brake system?
Well, hold on. There's an image here. I'm going to stick it in Just Hats.
Are they born like that? Or are those attachments they've added themselves?
Oh, that's a good question. Here's what they actually look like under the set.
There you go. Wheelers.
Under the costume.
All right. I need to now boot up Discord. But yeah, I'll get on it.
This is important, Charles. These Wheelers.
It is important. It's a very important discussion.
The Wheelers are a fictional group of bizarre characters invented by L. Frank Baum. They are a very rare species who only live in the enchanted land of Ev and are introduced in the third Oz book.
Yeah, stilts.
Really weird.
So they extended their arms out to match the floor with their legs.
Yeah, and how many people do you think caused like serious injuries like using these things, these devices on set?
Oh,
like
yeah.
in the real world, they just genuely slipping over and just
the back
struggling.
Legs have brakes on them. Like it looks like when they tilt their toes down, it like is touching the wheel and stops it.
The wheel
so that's
a
probably
bit.
How they're
that's
stopping.
Good.
But the front arms, nothing.
You have to dismount. Dismounting that looks like it would be a boring situation.
Yeah.
Your legs are like stuck on wheels as well.
Is an extreme
spare
sport.
A thought for this guy. This
didn't
guy
take
had,
off. Didn't go anywhere.
The guy in this image had to bend over for every shot they took.
Man,
another.
Yeah.
Their posture must be awful. They must have lower back issues now. Mm. Anyway.
That goes in with a penny farthing in terms of useless kind of and unnecessary modes of transportation.
Yeah.
And dangerous. Very
what
dangerous.
About
Iron Man suit,
one
single person, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Multiple people go.
No, I was thinking, imagine like Iron Man, but a bit more, you know, frugal. So what you have instead, imagine these had enough propulsion, but those novelty clown horns on each limb. So you could direct your movement, but every time it would be a from every limb. You could literally propel yourself in the air with that. Any ideas, thoughts
on
that?
You'd drive yourself crazy over time, but I mean, the novelty would be fun for a bit.
What was the thing we came up with the other day? Like every time somebody sneezes, you have to do something or another?
Swear words back at them.
This is one of those things that's just like,
match the
be
tone.
Torturous.
With a curse word.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
Or you say, I just shit myself.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean,
Return to Oz
giant floating
just,
bubble?
I'm sorry for bringing up Return to Oz, because there was just... Not it's only is it torture to watch, it seems like it was torture for like everybody involved in making it as well. Look at that.
Oh, my God. Okay, so explain... That's the... The Tin
this
Man.
Is the robot
so Tin Man is
man,
like a giant
man.
Ball
a wind
with
up
legs.
Guy.
He looks like a distillery. Like he looks like one of those things that you would brew gin in, right? But there's a dude with his head completely tucked down.
Yeah, it looked like in order for him to walk around, they literally just use his legs, and they're like, "Oh, your upper half. You're gonna have to curl in and bend over entirely and tuck your head in." Like what the hell?
God. That seems horrible, man. I think there was some. I mean, they may not get away with that today. Health and safety, you know?
It traumatized me.
They would CGI it today, let's be honest.
It did. It traumatized me as well.
scary film. It starts off with her in a psychiatric ward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's it's strapped very down.
And I think they're going to give a, what's it called when they dink up the nose?
A lobotomy? Or
lobotomy.
Like,
is it it's a weird because or you go to it's a Disney production and you go to watch it and you think, well, it's made for kids, and then it scares the crap out of you and you're like, well, hold on, this wasn't really made for kids. Like, this is
some horrific
it's a
things,
very
it?
Interesting. It's a very well crafted film, you know, very
super dark.
Like sort of defined style, which is good. But yeah, I remember the weird women's heads in like in the glass
she just
cases
had access
as well.
To heads, and
she was
talking
along and. Yeah, yeah.
And
so
like,
weird.
Pick me, pick my head.
Yeah.
Oh, it's freaky. And the mountain gnoll or troll or whatever it is, the ogres, whatever they're called, that stop motion animation freaks me out as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stop motion animation like early on that just is so freaky to watch. Like, it really, there's something really jarring about that, just that jerky nature of movement, which just is horrifying.
Yeah. Well, let's lighten the mood a little bit.
Not for Wallace and Gromit,
that's hypothetical.
Good
for the next 5 minutes. Now, this is Star Wars based, so Alex Smith, please take it away.
Oh, hello.
If Jedi were real, but you had to give up all your possessions and never have a romantic relationship, would you still become a Jedi? Well, it depends, doesn't it? On, you can't just become one. I presume that you have the, you know, you have the innate capability.
You'd
yeah,
be
you're
like,
force touched.
You messaged you and said, look,
yeah,
you got it.
You got it. You've been force touched.
You'd have all the skills.
You got it, buddy.
You'd be at like the Luke Skywalker level of Jedi, so you'd have everything, right? You'd have all the cool stuff, Force. You'd have all the lightsaber skills. You could read people's minds or whatever, or change their minds. Would you give up everything for that ability?
I don't know. I guess you could Force touch yourself.
You could Force or touch yourself. Nice. Force choke. Mm-hmm. Force choke.
Force choke me, Daddy.
I think that. This is a bit of a loaded question because it's just basically like, just, do you want to just give up everything? How important is becoming a Jedi to you?
Yeah,
it's like,
I
think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that the idea that like it would give you much greater depth and purpose and feelings of importance because you understand that because the Force exists, then all of the other things can exist in terms of like an afterlife and all these other things that we all
this
really
is
want.
Quite religious.
It's not
kind of
like
becoming a priest, right?
Or or a monk or something, like where you just give up everything and
Is this people think probably, I want to be able to move things with my mind. But ultimately, the biggest thing is at the end of your reasonably short life, you get to hang out with Yoda watching things burn down. I don't know what the rules of being a Force ghost are. They're not. That's ultimately it.
Talking about trade,
which would be pretty cool.
Treaties.
Hmm?
Talking about trade treaties and other stuff.
Oh, the trade invoice are here.
I'm looking forward to that.
There's a blockade.
Oh,
we'll
depends, you know. Princess Amidala could turn you, you know?
Yeah.
Princess
she
Amidala.
Did.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then look what happened. You know?
Yeah, he turned to
the
dark side.
Younglings.
So you'd think that they would just, you know, castrate them or something if they were that, like, keen to kind of nip it in the bud.
It just seems a little... Yeah, I mean, they're very conservative kind of in nature, aren't they? They're quite slow to act.
Okay, he's changing the question.
What?
You can be Jedi or Sith.
Well, okay.
Oh, but then I don't know enough about Sith, and I'm sure that those who are like, Sith aren't necessarily bad. I don't know. I just want to live in a world where I can move things with my mind. Right?
Didn't the Sith like kill the kids and stuff? Do you want to do that? Is that what you want?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone would give up everything for any one thing.
You get bored after a while, right? It'd just be
but
like,
some
yeah,
people
I'm moving
do that,
stuff around with my mind, but I'm like,
oh. Thing is, like, anybody who devotes themselves to, like, one thing only, I find always gets to a moment where they've lost, if they lose that one thing. It's like footballers or athletes, you know, if they lose that one thing they've dedicated their whole life to, it can be incredibly difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
So I imagine
not all
probably not the best idea. Yeah.
It's nice to...
Well, it's just all like, right. Don't give up everything. I mean, the possessions I could lose because you can always get more possessions, but...
You don't get possessions, you give them up.
You
no possessions.
Up
you
get a
light
fucking lightsaber.
That's your possession.
You get a
light.
That's a pretty cool possession.
Yeah.
That is
possession.
Is
that one? You only get one, apparently.
People are like, go to a party and they're like, yeah, I got this new phone or whatever, want to look at it. And they're like, yeah, I got a lightsaber.
Well, I can cut that in half. Look.
Yeah, do you want me to cut that in half right now? And your work surface. Yeah. Have you got anything you need cutting very quickly and suddenly in half?
You just become a fucking carpenter with a lightsaber. All right, guys, I'm going to make this really fucking quick. Let's do this.
After a certain point, all your mates would be like, yeah, we've seen that. Stop cutting things up. My God, we're just trying to have a party here. All you've got is this Jedi stuff. My God, give it up.
I just want one of something, not two halves of something.
Yeah. So probably not then. I think they could...
Bore holes, I guess.
Yeah. You could make a glory hole anywhere.
You could, just going around making glory holes in public toilets.
Is there any, like,
a very
really
hot, clean hole?
Hard steel door you need me to cut through? Because that's basically
any
what
material,
Jedi do.
Please.
All right, well, I guess no,
I don't know. I mean, we're not really religious people. It is a religious question, really. So it's just kind of like, well, we're not really, we didn't really buy into a lot of that stuff. So.
It's a religious question with actual powers, though.
Well, this is the thing.
Yeah,
like,
with
I find that, you know,
there is more.
I would love to be religious. I would love to believe there's an afterlife. I love to believe that, like, things that happen to us matter or they have some form of divine reason. But I just don't, and that sucks. Really, like, it does. It's not a preferred
way of
being.
You don't, or you can't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't believe it. Exactly. It's just like, I can apply the same things that I've applied thought-wise to this, and exactly.
Obviously, there's evidence here that is a Jedi has these powers.
Exactly. So you're like, oh, shit, something I can actually believe.
I believe in it because I could see it happening in front of my very own eyes.
But you can also
say cutting everyone's wood.
The storyline of Star Wars was like everyone became disenfranchised with the Jedi being in control of everything and all that. You can see becoming part of that problem.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at these egotistical Jedi with all these powers. And everyone would dislike you after a while, I guess.
They never seem to be doing anything bad, though. Like, this is the thing. Like, I get that. I get why that would happen. But
or why the Empire
like, they're
rose.
Only ever sent as, like... like escorts to things, like they try. I think they try and act in a way that's
noble,
sort of virtuous and good. Yeah, but I guess you know there's always going to be
they're just passively lording it over you.
What that is?
Yeah,
They're always passively lording it over you with their lightsabers.
Yeah,
force touching.
Like, you don't see much of that. I'd love to see more of that of like very arrogant like Jedi's.
Just a sitcom where you're literally just seeing the town folk just being pissed off with the local Jedi.
Yeah,
look at that guy, a prick.
Yeah. And then you hear the Jedi, what did you say? Nothing, because they just come up to
you
and be like,
me.
You never said that. You love me, Jedi. Yeah. Tell me you love me.
I love the Jedi.
Got too much power.
There he goes again.
I feel like if you're doing that, you're on the Sith territory.
And there's one of those flying aliens there like, no, he's still a prick.
This guy knows. God, this is the most trustworthy guy. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
Immune to it.
All right, well, that's a perfect time for us take a moment of your time to have an ad break, and we'll be back momentarily. Oh, look at that. We're back momentarily.
I bought the ad. I bought whatever it was. I just bought it.
Good. I hope you did. And sometimes they don't even appear, so don't worry if they don't. It's fine. It depends entirely on the region and the podcast provider, whether they're in there or not. But anyway, thank you for tuning in and also being a patron supporter, where obviously you get the ad-free version, so that's nice. Anyway, up next, this week I heard, or funny news. What do you reckon?
There's funny news here as well. I mean, there's some lingering stories from before as well, but did you put this one on here, Trot? This one
I did put the top one in. Yeah,
have a look at that one then, mate.
I will. So, of course, our main source of funny news is The Mirror.
There's a lot of these terrible websites we get them from.
Yeah.
Are they even true? I have no idea most
Does
of the time
matter?
Whether they're true. Doesn't matter. It's silly. And someone's published
source
it.
This.
We're reading it out. As long as it's not endangering anyone, of course.
Man who married a sex doll finds new love with an ashtray he took from a nightclub. So,
oh, my God.
The Kazakh muscleman Yuri Tolochko, 36, said he was intrigued by the ashtray's brutal scent and the touch of metal as he moves on from his devastating split from his sex doll wife. I feel like that was embellished a little
bit.
This is devastating.
Just,
it really is. They've really given it a story here.
A bodybuilder married a sex doll. Last year, oh God, I just got to a point of scrolling where I don't know if I should scroll any further.
Oh my God. He looks like he's been... Oh God, sorry, go on.
He's madly in love with an ashtray now, and he plans to give it an artificial vagina. What the hell?
What? An ashtray?
Oh, man.
He's trying to build a new life after the devastating split with his ex-wife, who is a sex doll. He made international headlines after tying the knot.
Don't ignore her name.
With What's a ceremony attended by dozens of guests. Dozens of them. There are dozens of us.
Literally dozens.
So I feel like this guy has that same sort of condition where you are attracted to inanimate objects.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it must be.
Like the lady with the Eiffel Tower obsession and that sort of thing. I don't know what the condition's called, but I feel like this guy...
Fucking ashtray.
He's split, so he needs to settle, I think. Maybe the ashtray is the one for him. I really hope he does permanent stability with that relationship. So fingers crossed for him. I scrolled down a little bit more. It's just him in his underwear.
Yeah, those pictures of him were very bizarre. He looked like a kind of a clay figurine model where someone's just cut off a load of trimmings and just slapped him on him. He looks really hairy, like beast mode hairy. Like,
it's also kind of... I mean, screams
dare I judge a guy who fucks an ashtray, but Jesus Christ.
It's hard to believe the full extent of this as well and whether this guy is just trying to do it for attention. Because, like, the posing,
who are you telling this
novelty
to?
Of it all. He's getting headline treatment. I wonder if he's just like, I'm going to create some new drama by splitting up with my sex doll and claiming I now love an ashtray.
I've got a very real second one for you. Here,
okay, good.
If you're ready to move on,
we don't need to go too into the fucking ashtray thing. It's very he stole the ashtray as well. Which is theft. Ashtray? I don't know. Does it specify? It doesn't specify.
He's going to have a vagina either way. So
well, that's great. Theft. That's really good news for him.
Go on.
Second 10-foot python spotted roaming Cambridgeshire village.
Second. Here it is.
Cambridgeshire.
It's back.
Whoa.
They're breeding.
Second 10-foot python. A second 10-foot long python has been rescued close to where another was found just days earlier. The latest was spotted on a country lane on Monday. The charity said it was likely both were abandoned or escaped from the same place. They had minor health conditions and one was very cold and thin, but they're recovering. There's a photo of it in a tree. Scroll down. There's like an apple tree. Oh, there's just a giant python in it.
There he is. In Cambridgeshire. Just chilling.
So across that.
These are constricting snakes, so they're not venomous. Yeah. But they're definitely big enough to give you a bit of a nip. And they could definitely kill a dog. They might have been, but even then, they still give you a nip. But yeah, they've been out up in the trees, which is, I think, partly where they like to hang out. So, just imagine walking on Cambridgeshire Walk, and then you just look up and just see a gigantic 10-foot-long snake in a tree. You'd be like, okay.
That's sort of horrifying, yeah. Like, I wouldn't know how to react to that. Well, I would scream like a girl. And then back away.
Is it like a zoo escape, or is it like someone owned these things?
It feels like a reptile shop, maybe.
They're unfortunately quite commonly owned, which reptiles live a long time, and a lot of people don't think that far ahead.
When it sucks. Getting them.
They'll do better outside than in. Bye.
Yeah, and they think that they can survive, but they can't. Not in our conditions. That's why we only have a couple of species of snakes.
I feel like people get snakes and things as like almost like a novelty accessory sometimes. Yeah, where it's like it's cool to have one, spiders and things like that.
Like Britney Spears for that shit, or pop stars in general who decide to adorn them across their
Britney
necks in music videos. And
she's going through.
Well, not targeting her specifically. I'm just saying I just really remember that specific scene where she was on like stage with a snake, and it's just like, why is that fucking snake there?
A thing
really,
where it's
on.
Like
a real
I'm snake, fearless, right? Where you have a snake draped around you, and you're like, kind of like Mike Tyson with his tiger. It's like, look how hardcore. And I feel like some things are just being put next to humans as accessories to make you look harder,
dangerous.
Stronger. Definitely. No,
especially since
using for show.
You drape a black mamba around somebody's neck and they're okay with it. I will think they're stupid, but I'll say they're brave. You drape like a boa around somebody's neck. They're not overly dangerous. It could it could strangle you if you're unlucky. But
this goes back to me watching horrible videos again. But yeah, no, they are dangerous. Some guy did it for a show and it just went around his neck and just killed him.
Yeah.
They're desperately trying to pull it off, and obviously it's getting tighter and tighter when you try and do that. And
once
you just
it's
like
locked in.
It's like it's cool. You did that to yourself. You're an idiot.
Oh, no.
He's dead.
No.
So don't they can strangle you, but yeah. largely yeah. when a person drapes like a medium... I mean, imagine that. I imagine that snake was pretty large, Ross.
Oh, yeah, it was big. It was a big boy.
Yeah,
like it got a loop around him. Then he suddenly, the look in his face was panic. He's like, "Oh shit, what am I doing now?" Everyone's like laughing along. Obviously, it's in a crowded thing, so there's noise, and it's just like that's when chaos ensues, and that's
awful.
Didn't happen to Britney. That's right.
Thank God. Yeah, I don't think they chose the boa, right? Or was it a boa? I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah, something was similar.
Well, moving on from one animal to another, there looks like there's another piece of news here.
There is
about
one.
Go on.
They had the reverse zoo one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says reverse zoo locks visitors in cages so lions can watch them.
Right.
So caged humans playing with lions. let's see, what does this one say? At one lion sanctuary in Harrismith, South Africa, visitors do not necessarily go to the zoo but become the attraction itself. GG Conservation. GGs. The sanctuary named after founder and photographer Glenn Gariff. Places people into plexiglass cages so they can see and be seen by lions up close in their habitats.
It's like a shark cage, but for lions.
It is, yeah. Which is not the worst idea, really. There are up to 77 lions people can engage with for about 2,000 to 3,000 African South African rand, which is only about $200, which isn't that bad, considering it's probably quite a unique experience, really.
Yeah, and the operational costs.
And then tourists can go inside the cages for 45 minutes, depending on the weather and staff, etc. They said we've been offering this experience for almost 2 years now. That's pretty good. Minors under the age of 14 are prohibited from the plexiglass tour. I mean, this feels like an advert for it, if anything. It's not really saying it's a bad thing.
I think
I'd feel safer doing that than like the shark diving thing.
Yeah, probably.
The shark diving thing is just obviously you're not on land, which isn't a natural thing.
Your
so you know, and you're underwater, you're in a cage. So if something happened to that and the cage drops as well, you're then just trapped in a cage going deeper and deeper into the ocean. All these fears are manifesting there. And then that, not alone, you're in shark-infested waters. And I've seen videos of those sharks literally getting through some of the cages if they try hard enough. That's all going in your mind. This one, obviously, it will be horrifying because you're in a plexiglass tube.
It's literally
like
a lunchbox rolling along.
Yeah, and you're just letting these lions kind of come up to you.
You're the froob inside.
Maybe pouring at you. But then I guess if enough of them really try, they could probably maybe... I don't know how big the plane doesn't say how big it is.
Lions are pretty smart, right? I wonder if this is like a continual thing where it's they keep putting humans in this plexiglass. Well, they won't call it plexiglass. The humans are always here and I can't get to them. Let's start experimenting with how I can get to them. Like, let's do a big run-up. Charge.
Yeah. They're learning.
They all just start grouping together and they all look curious. What's going on?
Will they just break through by charging it down? But are they that
smart? One day they'll get in that box and they'll eat their fill.
Yeah. And if that's the case,
story on here.
I'm sure
just chewing on a little
crystal
leg.
Yeah. So that's a little terrifying. I don't know if I'd do it based on that knowledge that lions
it would be
aren't.
Scary. It would still be horrifying. Yeah.
I feel like lions are something that can be enjoyed from afar.
Yeah. I've seen them on safari. Have you seen them on safari?
I didn't know they did that. What are they driving 4x4s and things?
What?
The lions on safari.
Yeah, that they were doing the tour. It was like a reverse thing again. Yeah.
Right. Okay,
so
another reverse
in the
safari.
Sahara Desert. And then in my underwear. And then they are driving around with all their mates and stuff. They've got gazelles on the back. It's amazing. Cheetahs. Yeah.
Did you see any cheetahs or leopards when you were?
Yes. I saw.
Wow, that's pretty good.
They just had a kill. It seems like a family had a kill. Yeah. And again, it was such a dodgy experience because we found a guy in Nairobi who was offering us a safari much cheaper than the regulated ones that actually have proper buses and stuff. It's like, I'll do it for you like half the price, less than.
Yeah.
I'll drive you all the way there and then we'll use the same Jeep, which has got a crack in the windscreen to go around safari. I've got a license, etc. So we did it very ghetto like that. There's loads of stories about how I got stopped by the police on the way and stuff, but either way, it was dodgy as hell. And we pulled up right next to these cheetahs and it was terrifying because they literally had blood all over their teeth and mouths. And they were just
isn't that a good thing, right?
I mean, they're no longer hungry. So yeah, that's why we pulled up so close. It's like, this will be fine because they've got their kill. As long as we don't get so close where they think that we're going to take their food away from them.
True.
But yeah, I got some really good pictures on my really crappy digital camera.
Yeah.
But thankfully they didn't crawl over the car or anything. Yeah, it was surreal.
Do you think we'll look back on like photos that we take with our phones now? Because the photos are so good on the on these phones now that like, do you think there's we've now reached that point where we look back and go, yeah, this is nice. I can literally I can see everything. I have enough information. Or do you think again we'll be looking back and going, damn, I wish I had a better camera at that time?
It really depends if technology advances to a point where like I don't know. Yeah, the depth of the imagery is. But I mean, I think now they've hit a point that it's kind of plateaued, really. Especially when you look at the camera phone or cameras in general, the technology behind them. Obviously, you'll get more megapixels. You can zoom in and do more stuff, etc. But like, yeah, in terms of the average user, I mean,
I think it'll get to a point where pretty fantastic. It'll be an aesthetic rather than a technical limitation, where it's like that was this period because this is the period where Apple did loads of processing and filtering on photos and it looked like this and added tons of fake depth of field and added excessive contrast to blah, blah, blah to like make it look sharper and stuff. I feel like we'll go through eras of it looking stylistically like that period rather than it being better or worse image quality, maybe.
I've not complained. I've not had any complaints really about camera technology, especially considering obviously we from the cameras we used to use back at uni or even before then. God, the technology now is stuff that you can do on your phone. You have to pay thousands of pounds for back then, like lots and lots of money. To get even close, and also the size of it, the size of the gear you would have to have. But I don't know. But I think it's kind of plateaued really.
There's definitely some pictures. Yeah, unfortunately of my childhood where it's like this is hard to look at because it's all like pixelated or blurry and it's really crappy, but you know I'd rather that than my entire life be online at that age, so
It's a small trade-off.
The things I did as a kid permanently recorded in history on the internet. I'd much rather have crappy digital pictures.
Do you think you'd be annoyed if your parents posted like baby pictures of you? Like, because I've seen some people who are like, you know, I'm not gonna post any pictures of my baby, etc. I don't want to, you know. It's up to them to, you know, show themselves online or whatever. Do you think you'd be annoyed? Or, like, would you even give a shit?
No, I don't care.
I guess it depends on how it's used, right? Or where it's been posted.
I think it's because it's the other way around, right? We're already grown up and they're posting pictures of us as a baby. I think it's different if you're posting pictures of a baby when they're still a baby and they're still growing up.
There's no choice.
I think that's different. So is that the Nirvana thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I was just remembering that now. Yeah, just thinking about the fact that, you know, obviously Heatboy.
I think because it's for commercial gain, it's slightly different. It's not just posterity or, you know, for family use or for you to look back on. It's to sell something to some people using a picture of you that you don't consent to. I mean, that I think that's where the problem lies personally. But hey, I mean, I'm more of a mind to err towards the side of caution and just not share too much, just because I probably already have shared too much for it to ever be any sort of resistance against the like things like deep faking and things like that. I think there's probably enough information out there to do whatever
all
the hell
of our videos
do. Exactly, so it's a little bit futile, I think. But I do ask people, like, when I have to give phone numbers or email addresses or anything like that, I'm usually like, what is this actually for? Do I have to give you my phone number? Because that's a bit more personal than harder to manage than email, essentially. So yeah, I don't know. It's somewhere in between, but ultimately it's probably futile.
I have one more story here, which you guys could relate to, I don't know. Man inserts eel into rectum from anus in hopes to relieve constipation.
Nice.
Funny okay, that you say that something that you guys relate to that.
Well, I don't know if you've ever, you know, thought maybe I should shove some eels up here to sort this out.
What are they imagining would happen? That the thing would like chip away at the coal face or something?
I don't know. Is he,
he's in there with like, a little like helmet and flashlight on.
Mine away.
But how bad must your constipation be? I mean, that's definitely not why.
How much do we believe
it?
That it's because of constipation?
Well, that's it. No, not at all.
What's the most believable story here? Okay, I found an eel. And
a 12 centimeter long eel is not very long.
20 centimeter long.
Eels into his are rectum. Such strange creatures.
Yeah. Okay, I'll read this.
Go on.
Well, I'll read the story. I'll read the story so it's clear for everyone. A man in Xinhua, East China's Jiangsu province, inserted a 20 centimeter long eel into his rectum from his anus. that's a weird phrasing of that, but on July 20th, in hopes of relieving constipation, but instead almost lost his life after the eel entered his abdomen.
Wow.
So what motivated the man to do so is a folk remedy. It's gross. That says an eel can help with bowel movement. So basically it's a folk remedy. They've, you know, believed and decided to grab an eel and get this done. Instead of curing the constipation, the eel went from the man's rectum to the colon and bit through it, entering the abdomen. He finally went to the hospital after enduring pain on the first day, as he was too shy to see the doctor. At this point, does it matter? Does it really matter?
It's gone.
You did something stupid. You're going to have to just swallow your pride and be like, look, I did a thing.
He swallowed an eel.
A 50-year-old man in South China's Guangdong province did the same thing with a 40-centimeter long eel in June 2020. An African carp was found in the stomach of a young man in Guangdong who claimed the fish slid into his rectum when he accidentally sat on it.
No one accidentally sits on an African carp.
What?
Imagine selling that. Imagine the look on the doctor's face when he's just like, "Yeah, no, I accidentally sat on it, and it's up there. It's still there. It's living."
Just
I think.
Slid on in.
Slid on. You sat on it.
Be.
Where did you sit?
No resistance.
Where were you sitting?
Just right hilarious. Up in there.
Yeah, zero resistance. That type of thing would have taken work to get up there.
Wait, what was that?
That would have been a time-consuming process.
If it's a carp, they get pretty big as well. Carps are pretty big fish.
I'll never be it's so surprising, all the weird things that people do just around the world. It's funny. These random stories of just
most of
in their
the
assholes.
World's like problems could be solved if men weren't so dangerously horny all the time.
Is it horny? Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy thought it was a folk remedy to cure some horrible constipation, which I mean, that's what they're saying, sure, but no, you just wanted to feel the amazing wriggling sensation of an eel in his arse. I mean,
a complete lack of education.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, because these are happening in areas of like China is still very
rural areas.
Yeah, can be very rural, I think. I was watching something about China this morning about them putting up cities at such a crazy rate. Like, they can put a hotel up in 2 weeks.
When they
like
those
using prefabs.
They whacked up those hospitals when COVID kicked off in 2 weeks. That was nuts.
But they've got whole ghost cities. They've built cities that nobody can afford to live in that area yet. But I think they're presuming that there's going to be so much sort of uplift in equality. Uplift in like wages or something. But but there's still obviously the very poor in the countryside who do things like shove eels up their ass, I presume. I mean, this might be an urbanite. This might be the CEO of a very high ranking company. I have no idea, but I'm gonna hazard a guess and say probably not.
But there's all sorts of strange stuff out of China. But like you've seen this gaming stuff, video game stuff, right? They've stopped people under 18 from playing more than 3 hours a week of video games.
A week.
And obviously because they track face data. Yeah, they're tracking facial data so that you can't actually access the games you want to do. So you need to verify that you can use the software. So they lock you off. They're just the government's just said, no kids, three hours a week. That's it.
Isn't there something in South Australia that's been proposed where there's like a 15-minute check-in now and again? Like,
really?
Know what you're up to, where you have to like scan your face and like confirm where you are.
Right. Is that a COVID thing or is that something else?
I'm not sure.
Obviously, there's all sorts of strange stuff going on with the COVID, like passports and all sort of stuff. But yeah, the gaming one seemed very restrictive. 3 hours a week. Can you imagine being like, when did you start playing games? Like when you're a little kid and.
It's an interesting step. I think that it sounds interesting because I definitely have wasted an awful lot of my time on games. Obviously, we're kind of an ideal situation for a lot of gamers where we can actually make money from playing games.
Yeah.
But like during my degree, especially, I was playing World of Warcraft all the time, things like that, where I probably should have been working a lot harder on my degree.
Yeah.
But the approach they're saying that, you know, young people can only do 3 hours a week or whatever.
Yeah.
Is essentially them saying, right, we are going to have a national initiative to force young people to work, do more constructive things. And now, you know, gaming is not necessarily unconstructive, but it is often a leisure pursuit, I think. And so they're essentially curbing a leisure pursuit that they probably feel is hindering the advancement that they want to see in their youth. It's a very authoritarian thing to do, but I mean, that is what they are. They're an authoritarian state that do these things. And I mean,
I wonder if
it's interesting,
always...
actually, because there was a one of the secretaries. There was this other thing I was reading about China this morning about how a lot of their ruling elite are English educated. In terms of like the one of the secretaries of the foreign secretaries of the party was educated in Oxford and then educated at London School of Economics. You know, like there are people at the top of this system who aren't like North Korea's, like, you know, sort of. They're not sort of blinded by ideology necessarily. They're very intelligent people running a country in a different way. Now, I'm not making any comment as to whether that's going to... But they have the same perspectives and they have a lot of the same experiences that some of the people in our country have. And I think that's kind of interesting that then they would go... Because a lot of the time it's thought that like exposure to Western influences is the thing that makes people want like democracy or like you know freedom or capitalism. You know, like, oh, you don't want to get too much of that life because, you know, it was like sort of the sort of Cold War between the Soviets and the Americans. Mm. Like, it's a warring of ideologies, really. And I think that's quite interesting to limit people. I wouldn't want to do it, and I'm so happy that I didn't get limited. I think that people shouldn't have to have that forced upon them. Yeah. But from a sociological, experimental perspective, it's interesting. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I feel like COVID is kind of like that. Not lucky happenstance, but like I feel like it was accelerated. It's accelerated the ideologies of kind of like a police state where they can monitor and utilize these technologies, and now they have a very good excuse to try these technologies. It's like, it's for your safety, blah blah blah, we need to check in and make sure.
Well, this is basically that's I mean, in a sense that's almost anti-vax sentiment, but I know, but you're right. I mean, this is ultimately something we need to consider, is that
well,
it's just that these things, some of these things are going to happen so fast that people won't even know how to react until it's too late, right?
Basically,
Definitely not anti-vax, people don't, vaccinations.
People are being told to rebel against the wrong things, I think. Like, there are people that want to rebel and feel like something's wrong, but then they completely miss the mark as to how to rebel and what to say about it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, our feelings and our capabilities and our ability to interpret things are all different things with different amounts of skill per individual. So it's a strange time. But yeah.
I
mean, China's been, you know, monitoring a lot of their. I mean, we as the UK as well. Like I say, the UK, the UK GCHQ and the intelligence services of the UK have been monitoring us for years now as well. You know, like we're not much different. I mean, we are, but we're meant to be different, and sometimes the lines become a little blurred.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, when people worry too much about this stuff, remember, if you've got a phone in your pocket, that's it. You've been tracked. Yeah. If you can be tracked, you've got the devices for it.
Really. It's totally too late.
But it is good to be careful where you give your data. I think that is important still, because there's a lot of scams as well out there, which some people we know in the network have been affected by recently.
True, yeah. Yeah, and it's easily done. Like, just like slight negligence or like being a bit foggy brained when you're going through emails can lock your profile down, have everything deleted, have your livelihood destroyed. So be careful.
Be safe out there.
Be safe out there. What a good time to end by giving people that threat and worry about these sorts of things. So hey, we don't have to worry, though, because we've got a whole bunch of Patreon supporters keeping our podcast going, and also choosing our hypotheticals of the week. Thank you very much for voting. Don't forget, I'll be putting one up for next week as well. And you'll all be credited at the end of our YouTube video, as per usual. Yeah. If you are missing out on the visuals of what a wheeler looks like, and maybe what an eel looks like, or a huge... what was it in Cambridgeshire?
It was a boa constrictor, wasn't it?
Boa constrictor.
It's a big old snake.
We film all these things, and it's recorded for our Hat Chat podcast YouTube channel. So go check that out if you're interested. Maybe you're musically inclined. Send us a fingle. We're running out again. We have to start dredging through the ones I missed to get one for next week. But yeah, now's a good opportunity for you to make one, because I'm going to have to look at it and choose it for next week. So thank you very much, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this weekly format as well. If you have any questions or maybe ideas for hypotheticals, email us as well. Appreciate that. Hatchat@hatchat.com.
For our patrons, we should do like a raffle where one of them gets their own eel. And they can do what they want with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What they want with it? No, yeah. We know what they want with it.
Well, we know what they want
we
with it.
We know what they're up
they
to.
Can do what they want with it, but we'll know. Yeah. And then we can read more stories.
Like, hit the mirror with what Heel you do stories. With it, if you could, so then it becomes funny news again. Nice and cyclical. Let's create funny news with you guys.
definitely.
But that's just encouraging people to do weird shit, so maybe not. Either way, thanks
it's
for listening to
it's
us.
Fine.
We'll send you off with our wonderful fingal by Blake, a.k.a. Marco, and we'll see you next week.
Indeed.
Any final words from either of you?
Don't shove any up your ass.
I was going to say the same thing.
Simple.
It's a good
sentiment. It's quite simple. Don't do that. All right.
Be safe out there. Careful, things might just accidentally slip up there. Goodbye.
Don't sit on a carp.
See you next week. Bye.